The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer.
Good morning. It is time to get up with two college football superpowers on the outside looking in. After last night's playoff rankings came out, is there any hope for Alabama and Ohio State? Plus, Aaron Rodgers got good news on his injured ribs yesterday, but is it the news the Packers wanted to hear? And when the clock is winding down, Lamar Jackson gets wound up. Why the Ravens quarterback is struggling when it matters most. Welcome into Get Up on this Wednesday. I'm Dan Graziano in for Greeny. And look at all these people who are here with me. I got Chris Canty. I got Tim Hasselbeck. I got Jeremy Fowler. I got Heather Dinich to talk college football. And that is where we start this morning. Only 4 days until the college football playoff field is revealed. Georgia lands on top of the penultimate rankings that came out last night. The Bulldogs look to win their first SEC championship since 2017 this weekend against LSU. Michigan moves up to number 2 after their emphatic win at Ohio State. The Wolverines will look to repeat as Big Ten champs when they play Purdue this weekend. They have not been back-to-back Big Ten champs since 2003-2004. TCU is the third and final unbeaten team. The Horned Frogs face Kansas State, seeking their first Big 12 title since they shared it in 2014 in their inaugural year in the conference. And the number 4 spot belongs to USC for now. The Trojans are going to try to avenge their only loss of the season against Utah in the Pac-12 championship on Friday night. So despite the new rankings, our All-State playoff predictor still favors Ohio State by kind of a wide margin to take over that fourth and final spot over USC. Why? Because our analytics think Utah will beat the Trojans again this week. Our analytics giving the Utes a 61% chance to take the Pac-12 title in that game on Friday. So lots to talk about with regard to these college football rankings. I mentioned Heather Dinich. Paul Feinbaum joins us as well. We have the new top 6 came out last night. Paul, start with you. What was your biggest takeaway from the reveal?
Bama is done, and that's hard to swallow if you're a Nick Saban fan and you knew that this team coming in was perhaps his best in many, many years with the Heisman Trophy winner coming in and maybe the best defensive player. But it has gone all wrong for Alabama. They lost that game at Tennessee. They came back and lost a few weeks later on a 2-point conversion against LSU. And their biggest problem, Dan, they don't have any good wins, and I think the committee saw that last night.
College football playoff without Alabama just feels weird. What was your biggest takeaway, Heather?
That Ohio State is in prime position at number 5 to take advantage of chaos ahead of them. And the easiest path for the Buckeyes to get back in this thing would be a USC loss. As you pointed out, our analytics think they're going to lose to Utah. If you have a 2-loss USC, it would be extremely difficult for the committee to justify them in the playoff. And Ohio State could slip right in there. And they have the edge against Alabama right now. That number 5 spot was critical to have an edge going into selection day.
What gives them the edge? Why do they have the edge over Alabama?
Well, the selection committee loves their wins against Notre Dame and Penn State, which is now a top 10 win. And then when you look at Alabama, their best wins are against Ole Miss. Now, Mississippi State snuck in the rankings last night, so that did help. But a 1-point win on the road against Texas, which against majority of the game, the backup quarterback, that's what they're looking at for Alabama. And look, we can't forget that Alabama hasn't looked like a top 4 team for most of this season. Have they gotten better? Yes, but there were a lot of issues and turnover margin, penalties, the list goes on.
Paul, what do you think of Ohio State's chances of getting in there, especially if somebody slips up in front of them?
Yeah, I think they're great. And what's interesting is the narrative after Saturday was they were done. I mean, you heard people say they got housed in their own building. They completely collapsed for the second year in a row. But guess what? Ryan Day's team is still hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, look, TCU there in the number 3 spot. Obviously, they're one of the newcomers, and USC as well. TCU's got the Big 12 title game, Paul, against Kansas State this weekend. If they were to lose that game, Do you think they still get in, and should they?
I think they will get in, and they probably should. I say probably because you really need to see what that game looks like. TCU has a good strength of schedule. They're not the type of brand name as Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State that we're used to. But in first-year coach Sonny Dykes' season, they've been unbelievable. They've dominated most of their games, including last week. And I think short of an absolute annihilation, they'll probably sneak in. And I say sneak in because a lot of people around the country are going, they shouldn't be in if they lose.
You agree?
Yes, and TCU is number one in the country right now in strength of record, and they are facing a top 10 K-State team now. But I'll remind people, to Paul's point, it depends on how this game unfolds. I think they would have to be absolutely destroyed in this game in order to not get in. But remember, when they played K-State in the regular season, they had to overcome an 18-point deficit. This was not an easy win for them. This is another comeback kids type event. But if USC also loses, right, that increases their chances of staying in this thing with a loss.
And that's it. That's the thing. Both those teams are playing other top, whatever, 12, 15 ranked teams in conference championship games. Obviously, you can't be sure about these things. A little bit of non-playoff college football news this week. Jackson State head coach Deion Sanders confirmed he was offered the job as head coach of Colorado. What are you hearing about that, Heather?
Well, I think it's fascinating, and it's a great opportunity for him to do more with more resources. And look, let's be honest. If you're going to get recruits to Colorado, you got to go out of state, and that is a perfect home run type hire with all the flash and the lights and the noise that come with it. But does he want to wait for an offer in Texas or Florida? I'm sure it's not going to be the only offer that he gets.
Paul, what do you think about Coach Deion in Colorado?
I think it's a bad job, and I think Deion Sanders knows that, and obviously he has a game, so he's taking his time with this. But he can do better from this view. There are a lot of really amazing opportunities I think he could get, particularly in the areas of the country where he, I think, can make the most impact. To win in Colorado, you have to go to Arizona, you have to go to California. I'm not saying Deion can't do that. Deion can recruit anywhere, but I think he can do better in Florida, in the South, and in Texas.
All right, we got a lot more college football on the show. Huge weekend coming up. Paul, Heather, don't go anywhere. Right now we are going to move, though, to the NFL and specifically to Green Bay, Wisconsin, home of the 4-8 Packers, who play in Chicago on Sunday before getting a much-needed bye week. Aaron Rodgers continues to deal with thumb and rib injuries, but even so, he says he's playing this weekend. How do we know? He told McAfee. Listen.
We're not eliminated. I got good news with the scans yesterday, so I plan on playing this week. We got a chance to run the last five and see where we stand after that. Go to my one of my favorite places to play now in Chicago, and hopefully, you know, get a big win, get into the bye week, get healthy, and see where we can get to.
Boy, you wouldn't know they're 4-8, right? Like, it sounds like everything's great and they're primed for a run. What do you think, Chris?
No, that ain't going to happen, man. The season is over. Start shipping the cars home. I mean, since 1990, there have been 110 teams that have been 4-8 through their first 12 games. Only one of them made the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers ain't going on a run. So, nah, the season's over. So the most important thing for the Green Bay Packers organization right now is to get an extended look at Jordan Love. And I get it. Maybe you don't want to start him this week against the Chicago Bears, but you got your bye week in week 14. Use that as an opportunity to get the kid ready because you have a consequential decision that you have to make on his fifth-year option in the 2023 offseason. And that fifth-year option is upwards of $20 million guaranteed. So you need to give yourself as many data points as you possibly can so you can make an informed decision on both quarterbacks next offseason.
You agree?
I don't. And I get it. They don't know enough about Jordan Love. But here's the deal. I don't know why everyone is so quick to want to turn the page on a quarterback that is having a bad year because he's got a broken thumb when you go back to 2018. Just listen to these numbers. Aaron Rodgers has thrown 157 touchdowns and 24 picks. That's including this down year. That is absurd. No one has ever done anything even close to that. Guys like Aaron don't fall off a cliff. He has better football ahead of him. And I just think this in terms of, I don't know why you're in a race to move on from him. And oh, by the way, yes, $20 million on a fifth-year option is a lot. But the Packers owe Aaron Rodgers a $40 million roster bonus in June. Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere. His contract is not all that different than what Denver's dealing with in terms of guaranteed money that's owed to their starting quarterback that just you can't get rid of him. It's not your choice. He's there because of how much money you're still owed, you know, you still due to pay him.
But the reason we're having this conversation is because 2 years ago they were thinking about moving on.
Yeah.
But they traded up and draft Jordan Love.
But they're not moving on from him.
Right.
And here's the thing. Yeah. Why are you trying to move on to him to a guy that you don't know if he can play?
Well, they thought enough of Love to take him in the first round. Two years ago. But a lot has changed. So, Jeremy, what are you hearing on the Rodgers situation?
So, Dan, I just checked in with some people around the league this morning, and I was told that Aaron Rodgers, because of his dynamic and his makeup, it would be very much out of character for him to say, okay, I'll just sit, right? And he's going to have major input in any decision that they have because of what happened a year and a half ago. He wanted more communication. So if they fall to, say, 4-10, and he's still beat up and just says, okay, maybe it's best for me to sit down, they could talk and then hash that out, maybe give Love a few games. But that's not in his plan by any stretch. And it's not impossible to trade him next year, but it's right. awfully hard because of that massive money, $59 million overall, totally guaranteed.
Yeah, and look, I mean, he said after the game that he'd be open to those kinds of conversations, right? If and when they fell out of mathematical contention, right? They're not eliminated yet. I get your point, Chris Canty. You don't buy it. But they aren't eliminated yet, so I think they feel like they owe it to themselves to try and win the games as hard as they can. If Rodgers goes to them and says, I'm definitely coming back next year, do you still think they have to look at Jordan Love?
Yeah, because they still have to make a decision on Jordan Love. And if Aaron Rodgers is coming back, then you probably have to move off of Jordan Love. You're not going to let that guy go into a contract year in 2023 and then walk. You're not going to get anything for the first-round draft pick you made in 2020. Mm. That makes no sense from an organizational standpoint. But, guys, make no mistake about why Aaron Rodgers wants to be out there and play. He doesn't want to give Jordan Love any oxygen. And I know it's crazy to say this about a two-time MVP, but think about how Aaron Rodgers got this job. Back in 2007, when I played for the Dallas Cowboys, we knocked Brett Favre out of the game late in the season.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers came in down 17. That was a seven-point ball game with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. At that point, we knew that Aaron Rodgers could play. Guess what the Green Bay Packers did that offseason?
Yeah.
They shipped Brett Favre off, and Aaron Rodgers became the starting quarterback. How you get it is how you lose it, and Aaron Rodgers is well aware of that, and he doesn't want to give Jordan Love that opportunity.
Chris saw the money on this. Plain and simple, look, people sometimes ask themselves, like, why is that guy playing? Like, his check's not going to change if he decides to stay home. Like, and so some people will say, like, well, why would the guy keep playing? Guys like Aaron, who are that good and that competitive, they do exactly what Chris said. They don't let anyone ever get a chance to replace them. I mean, that's why you keep playing.
Yeah, and Jordan Love, you can play the long game here because he has one more year of his rookie deal. You can put the fifth-year option on him. You can franchise tag him after that. Like, you can keep him for three or four more years in a holding pattern if you wanted to
do that.
That's
a lot of money in quarterbacks,
but you got a lot of work to do on this. They like him enough. Go with Rodgers maybe one more year, a guy who unequivocally 3 months ago was the best passer on the planet. I don't think anybody would argue that. Not that much has changed.
A lot of commitment for a what-if guy that you really haven't seen much of.
Yeah, I was saying, Aaron, the what if. Like, the reality is Aaron's made a lot of money. If he were to stop playing, he would be walking away from a lot of money. Guys don't do that.
About $60 million next
year.
Exactly right. So lots more on this as we go along today and really for the next several months. Who are we kidding? But coming up, while the numbers may not be as gaudy as they were in his MVP season, is Patrick Mahomes having his best year yet? We will discuss that. And Christian Pulisic played the part of Captain America, delivering in the World Cup when the U.S. needed it most. But it didn't come at too high a cost. We'll give you that answer when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious. Meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Willow, an all-new original series, now streaming only on Disney+. All right, back here on Get Up with Tim Hasselbeck. We're going to go through some QB quick reads. What happened to Russell Wilson, Tim?
That's a great question. I don't know.
You going in for him? You got the ball.
I'm not going in for him. It would be even worse, Dan, if that happened. But look, here's the deal. I think the only explanation to this is that he has started his decline. And then the people that he's surrounded with, and that means players as well as coaches that he's surrounded with in Denver, are not better than the people he was surrounded with in Seattle. I think a lot of people thought, hey, this receiver group's going to be better. I don't believe that it is. This coaching is going to be better. Remember, they were changing offensive coordinators in Seattle. I'm not so sure that it's better in Denver. And so I think he's not improving. And then the people around him are less than what he was around in Seattle.
They got a mess there. Things are a lot better in Baltimore, but they're not great, where they've blown a lot of fourth quarter leads this year. What does Lamar Jackson have to do to close out games better?
I don't think it's just about Lamar. Like, have there been some times where they've struggled on third down late in games to close things out? Sure, that's the case. I think it's this whole team, and it's been really surprising because usually Harbaugh coach teams end up being on the details. But you go back a week ago, you had a bust on defense that led to a score. You had issues, offensively in terms of protecting the football. You had a special teams issue late in the game when you're protecting a 2-point lead. I think there's just too many things that team is not doing the right way.
A lot that the Eagles are doing well. They're 10-1. Is Jalen Hurts the best quarterback in the NFC right now?
I can get on board with this. Look, he is making great decisions in the run game and the passing game. And what they are doing with him in the run game is creating amazing opportunities in the passing game. And look, his football intelligence and awareness is really good. Look, I think you can make an argument for someone like Dak Prescott. But that being said, I can absolutely get on board with Hurts being the best in the NFC right now.
Yeah, really, really impressive the way he's advanced from early in his career, done everything they've asked him to do, and ascended to the Eagles are at the absolute top of the conference right now. So that's football. Now on to the football, at least as the rest of the world calls it. The U.S. played Iran in their final match of the group stage yesterday in the World Cup, needing a win to advance. Let's take it to the 38th minute of action here. Weston McKennie chips the ball to Sergiño Dest. Dest heads it into the middle, and Christian Pulisic gets on it for the goal. Look at it again. Perfect header. Pulisic takes a big hit from the goalkeeper, but the goal stands. U.S. up 1-0. Pulisic would leave the game at halftime with an abdominal injury. More on that in a minute. 98th minute now, same score. Last chance for Iran. They get the ball into the box with Morteza Paralagani heading it on. Ball gets through goalkeeper Matt Turner, but Walker Zimmerman swoops in to clear it. Take another look at this no call, though. Cameron Carter-Vickers does have a hand on the Iranian player, but not enough for a foul. U.S. hangs on for a 1-0 win. They face the Netherlands in the round of 16 on Saturday. So take a look at that game. The Dutch entered the tournament with a FIFA world ranking of 8th, U.S. Ranking 16th. While the Netherlands have had a strong tournament so far, the average world ranking of the teams they faced in the group stage was 37th. U.S. a little more battle-tested, as their average opponent ranked in Group B was 14th. So for a lot more on this, Taylor Twellman getting up with us to talk about the U.S.'s big win. Taylor, looking ahead, they now face the Netherlands Saturday in the round of 16. What are their chances?
They're heavy underdogs. Vegas has them a little plus 300, 320 at the present time that you and I are talking. So naturally, Vegas and the sporting books look at it and say Netherlands should win. However, that graphic you just showed is very interesting when you look at the Dutch, because they've been very professional in their approach, but they haven't impressed anyone. And Dan, the most important part of this conversation is that now, while Iran was a difficult game for the United States, the Netherlands are expected to win. So the United States now are the underdog. And this is where the men thrive. The way the Netherlands play, and the Dutch get after you, they want to turn you over, they want to possess, they want to get you wide, but now your athleticism, now your pace, now you're on the counter, your best players are put in spots to succeed. It's not as far-fetched as maybe Vegas thinks that the United States could surprise some people.
All right, but if they're going to do that, you would think that they would need Christian Pulisic. And, of course, he had to leave yesterday with the injury after scoring the goal. Does this U.S. team need him if they're going to have any shot to pull the upset?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Because when you look at how the game unfolded yesterday, many people coming into the game, some like myself, said the Iranian defense is a tough nut to crack. And Christian Pulisic found the one way to do so, Dan. And he found the one moment where he got on the end of it. He put his body on the line, literally and figuratively, and he put the ball in the back of the net. He's this special player in big moments. The United States need that. From all accounts and from everything that I've heard over the last, I'd say, 10 to 12 hours, he's going to be absolutely fine. And more importantly, I think he'll be able to raise a family when he's older.
We're going to need to get into the specific nature of the injury, but if he plays and he's a little banged up, right? Like if he's hampered at all, is there a player that you think would need to step up and take more of that responsibility?
Giovanni Reyna, it is remarkable that you are asking me this question after three group stage games for the United States, and he's played maybe 10 minutes. This is a player that was listed by FIFA coming into the World Cup, Dan, and listen to this. Top 10 players in the World Cup under the age of 23, he was listed third, and he can't get on the field. Now, only Greg Berhalter and that staff know why he can't get on the field, and I understand there's actually a discussion to be had that, okay, if you don't start him, because who are you taking out of the lineup? Because that lineup has played very well every single game so far. He's got to be your first sub off the bench. He's a player that the United States have only one of them, and that is a creative mind that can break down a bunker. It is remarkable that you and I you're asking me a question right now, and I can't definitively tell you to this camera that Giovanni Reyna has not played enough. If he does not play against Netherlands, at least the second 45, that will be the biggest talking point of this World Cup, and anyone that tells you otherwise will be remiss. Because this is one of the best players in the world that is on the market value of over $75 million, and he's played 9 minutes. Nine.
All right. Taylor Twellman, unlike the Iranian defense, you are not a tough nut to crack. Thanks for getting up with us on this Wednesday morning, and we'll check back in with you as we get closer to Saturday. If you don't think Dak Prescott and the Cowboys need Odell Beckham, we're going to give you some numbers that say otherwise. Why Odell is a player Dallas needs to add right now when we come back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on Get Up. Time to play Fact or Fiction. Chris Canty, the Tua-led Dolphins have the best offense in the NFL. Is that fact or fiction?
That's absolutely fiction, Grom. The number one offense in EPA is the Kansas City Chiefs, and by a country mile. They're 128 in EPA. The Miami Dolphins are fourth with 61, so the proof is in the pudding. No offense is more explosive than the Chiefs' offense. They have the most 20-plus yard plays on the NFL season.
It's interesting. Country mile is not usually an EPA stat, but they must have updated it. Jeremy, the NFC East will put all four teams in the playoffs. Is that fact or fiction?
Gross. It's fiction because I got Seattle sneaking into one of those wild card spots. I got a manageable schedule the next few weeks. I got the Panthers coming up and the down bad Rams should be able to win those games, where the Commanders and Giants are probably going to cancel each other out. They play twice in the next 3 weeks.
Amazing that we're having that conversation about that division 2 years after nobody had a winning record. Tim, the Cowboys adding Odell Beckham Jr. would make them the NFC favorite. Fact or fiction?
I believe that's fiction. First off, I don't think one player changes it that much. I think the other aspect of it is this. There's nothing wrong with the receivers that Dallas has right now. I think those guys are playing well. In fact, since Dak Prescott has come back, he's got a QBR of over 90 targeting his receivers. I don't think receiver's an issue for the Dallas Cowboys.
Everybody said fiction. I got to come up with some better stuff. You guys are giving me all fiction when I'm doing fact or fiction. I got to come up with some better facts. But in the meantime, Marcus Spears, our favorite former Cowboy, had this to say about that. But sorry, Chris, I didn't mean that. Had this to say about the potential marriage of Odell Beckham and the Dallas Cowboys.
OBJ needs to be in Dallas. And I believe that this is the move, albeit him being healthy, that could catapult this team to get into a championship and having a chance to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
We've just known each other longer. That's,
yeah, that,
that's
yeah,
all
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. You
really
remember me with the Giants.
Giants,
I
think
Bowl,
of you as a Giant because you are, in fact, a Giant. Do you agree?
He's going to blow by that. He's like, when I won a Super Bowl with them. Like, that was a little shade thrown there.
Humble brag.
The shades at Swag. Ooh,
that's
not
what
even
I'm
here.
Saying.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. So, lots
yeah.
to unpack there. But that's not why we're here today. I want to know from Chris Canty, do the Cowboys need Odell Beckham?
Yeah, they need Odell Beckham. And I'm not saying that Odell is going to show up and be the guy we saw with the Rams last year, but I do think it matters in terms of providing context to the conversation, his impact on that Rams offense. Odell, in the 12 games that he played for the Rams last year, he caught touchdowns in 7 of those games, 52 balls overall, 31 of those went for first downs. Right now, the Dallas Cowboys receiving corps is 23rd in yards and touchdowns. And outside of CeeDee Lamb, they've only got 2 receivers that have scored 1 touchdown apiece. So 2 touchdowns from the rest of the receiving corps. They need Odell Beckham Jr. If for no other reason, have another option that can beat tight man coverage other than number 88. And that's why I think they have to have more urgency in trying to get this guy signed, get him in the building, get him acclimated to the offense and his teammates so he can make some type of impact as they move through December and on into the second season.
Look, I think he would make them better, you know, and the fact or fiction thing was like, hey, does that make them the favorite? Look,
right.
I don't think it makes them the favorite. I think some of the reasons that the receiver numbers are down, they were playing with Cooper Rush earlier in the year. The style of their offense was a little bit different. But, Chris, I agree with you that he helps them. The more players you have that can win matchups, the better you typically can be as an offense. I'm just saying, like, if we're going to say that the Eagles are the team that is the favorite, let's just pretend that that's what, you know, the argument is. Look, Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't help them stop Jalen Hurts. Like, to me, that is the bigger thing. That's why I don't think it makes them necessarily the favorite, but I do think it helps them. Anytime you add talented players, it probably is a good thing for your football team.
There's no doubt he's a talented player, but the reason we're having this conversation right now is because he suffered a significant knee injury in the Super Bowl 9 months ago, right? So he's still on the open market as a free agent. December starts tomorrow. No one has signed him yet. What are your sources telling you about his status medically and in terms of his likelihood to sign?
Yeah, so teams I'm talking to believe that the Cowboys will eventually get this done. I'm told the Cowboys do have urgency in the situation because they know the competition will be fierce. Bills are involved. New York Giants are involved. Chiefs considered sort of a sleeper in this thing. But I've told the Cowboys want to get him in the building in part because of that knee injury. They want to see where he's at physically and just be able to sit down and talk with him. I don't expect him to necessarily work out for them, but this is a 30-year-old with two ACLs on the same knee. Could be more of a situational type player for them that puts him over the top in the red zone.
And it should be noted, Jerry Jones has said they're meeting with him next week, but he's also meeting in the meantime with other teams, right? It's the Giants, I think, tomorrow and Buffalo later in the week.
Yep,
so Cowboys aren't necessarily a lock to sign him. We'll have a lot more NFL later in the show, but it is, as I've mentioned, a big college football weekend. So I want to go back to Heather Dinich and play a game of HD. This is a game where Heather makes college football stuff clearer for us. Get it? HD, Heather Dinich. If you don't get it by now, there's no hope for you. Starting with Alabama, sitting at number 6. Heather, Alabama can sneak into the playoff if...
There are absolute meltdowns ahead of them on championship weekend. The only way Alabama is getting back in this thing is if TCU gets absolutely destroyed by Kansas State and USC loses. And even then, it's not necessarily a given because I think TCU still has a chance with a loss.
And the team in front of Alabama, right in front of them, is not playing this weekend either. Ohio State will make the playoff if...
USC loses. I think this is pretty clear cut for the Buckeyes. They need to cheer for Utah like never before, because if Utah beats USC twice, that's very easy for the committee. Utah falls out. Ohio State gets in.
We're talking about Ohio State and Alabama needing things to really break the right way to get into the playoff, right? I feel like these are givens every single year in the playoff. So we're looking at a different top four than we've ever seen. With, you know, TCU, I mean, obviously Georgia's been there, obviously they won last year, but TCU and USC, what does it mean that Alabama and Ohio State are on the outside looking in this year?
This could be pretty significant in terms of, from a historic perspective, because 17 of the past 32 teams to reach the playoff have been a combination of Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson. And Hembo pulled this great stat for me. There have been 24 CFP games played, and those three programs have accounted for 20 appearances in them. So it's not just who's getting in the first time for TCU and USC, but the blue bloods that are being left out of this thing is very significant.
Yeah, well, you see Clemson there. Obviously, we haven't even talked about them. That's how far they've slid. They're not even in the top six anymore. So, look, a lot of talk, obviously, over the past year or so about college football expansion. You have a news story about the Rose Bowl, right? And they have a deadline today to give the College Football Playoff Committee an answer on whether they want to be involved. Tell us more about that.
That's right, Dan. The CFP has a self-imposed deadline, so that can be a little wobbly, today for the Rose Bowl to either say, hey, we want to play ball, or if not, there's a possibility that the CFP has a new contract in 2026 that doesn't include the Rose Bowl. And here's why this is happening. Because the Rose Bowl wants to keep its day and time, its media rights, and it is saying, look, we'll do what you want us to do for 24 and 25 if you do X, Y, and Z for us in 2026. And the commissioners and presidents are saying, look, we don't want to be tied to any promises to you when we sit down to negotiate our next deal. So bottom line is they don't think the Rose Bowl should be treated any differently than the other New Year's Six Bowls. So, you know, and to go back to the other thing we were talking about the Blue Bloods being left out, if the playoff were expanded today, we would be talking about Alabama and Ohio State. Alabama would be playing Utah right now if it were lined up the way it is today.
Well, I tell you, I bet they would vote to expand the playoff this year, right now, just to get Alabama and Ohio State in it.
Where's the button?
Exactly. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but much more on that very big college football story involving the Rose Bowl. Heather obviously will be on top of it. We come back. We are going to do more NFL after another late collapse last week. The Baltimore Ravens find itself in a fight atop the AFC North. Will Lamar deliver when the Ravens need him most this week? We'll give you that answer when we come back. Here is this weekend's featured college football lineup. Conference Championship Saturday begins at noon Eastern with three games on ABC. And Sunday on ESPN at noon Eastern, we will have the exclusive reveal of the final college football playoff rankings. Find out who the top four teams will be playing in the Fiesta and Peach Bowls. Getting exciting on the college football front. Meantime, though, it is the game that's sweeping the nation. We call it Canty or Canty. Chris, Canty, Joe Burrow leading the Bengals on another Super Bowl run. Can he or can't he?
He can, Groz, because in order to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC, you got to go through Kansas City. And Pat Mahomes has only lost in three playoff games to two quarterbacks. One of them cats is playing in the NFC. That would be Tom Brady. The other one is Joe Burrow. So when Joe Burrow's under center, he gives his team a chance. They look like they might have to go the wild card route, but they played in three playoff games on the road last year, if you want to count SoFi Super Bowl. So, yeah, Joe Burrow can get it done.
Speaking of Tom Brady, he's in first place, but he's under 500 trying to right the ship in Tampa's final six games. Can he or can't he?
He can't, with a capital T, because good players can't overcome bad coaching. Somebody still got to give me an explanation and why Todd Bowles on that last drive in the fourth quarter didn't decide to use his timeout after a first down play, completes a 26-yard pass to Julio Jones, gets in the midfield, but they still have no time on the clock to position themselves for a scoring opportunity. Ridiculous.
Tough year in Tampa. Josh Allen, the Bills are heating up, but Von Miller is injured. Josh Allen can win the Super Bowl without Von Miller. Can he or can't he?
He can't, and that's another capital T, because, listen, in order to win and get to the Super Bowl in the AFC, you got to go through Pat Mahomes. And the Buffalo Bills have played the Chiefs twice in the last two playoffs. They've only sacked Pat Mahomes three times in 92 dropbacks, and they haven't forced a takeaway from Pat Mahomes. So that's a problem. Von Miller was supposed to help that, but if he's not available, the Bills got no shot.
I'll go so far as to say that is the reason that the Bills signed Von Miller, because they haven't been able to bring Patrick Mahomes down in those playoff games. So, Von injured in that Thanksgiving Day game. How is he? What's his outlook going forward? Who better to tell us than Von Miller?
I did get hurt. You know, the news is not the best of news, but it's definitely not the worst of news. It's kind of like in the middle. But, you know, I do have some lateral meniscus damage, and it's going to have to be addressed. But I do feel like I can, you know, play through that. So I'm just going to wait a little bit, let the swelling go down for about, you know, 7 to 10 days, and, you know, hopefully right before the Jets game, I will be back.
Jeremy, even though you didn't wear your shiny overalls today, I am curious what else you are hearing on the Von Miller injury.
Those
front.
Are for Tuesdays.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm told there are two reasons why Miller is optimistic. One is, if he got the surgery, he'd be out for the year. It's too quick a turnaround. He wants to avoid that at all costs. And also, he's just comfortable trying to play on this. He's comfortable wearing a brace if he has to. He did it earlier in his career and played pretty well. And he's one of the most gifted athletes in the NFL. That certainly helps him. Now, the swelling has to subside. Once it does, he's got second and third opinions on this thing. This is a major ordeal. So if the doctors say, hey, it's best to get the surgery, certainly they will revisit the situation. But right now, he is definitely optimistic.
Von's won the Super Bowl twice, including last year. Bills bring him in because they're trying to win this year's Super Bowl. Chris Canty tells me they can't do it without him. Do you agree?
I agree with Chris. I don't think they can win it without him. Look, he's a closer. I mean, the reality is they signed him to help them win a Super Bowl because he can close games out. Like Chris knows this, he's been in the defensive line, and there are some guys that are great at rushing the passer. And then there are some guys when the game needs to be closed out, they're even better for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like that's Von Miller. Like, you know, just like quarterbacks play well in critical moments, I think pass rushers kind of have that same feeling. The great ones do anyway. Von's been a great one. And, you know, Hembo had this stat, which is amazing. 38 pressures on quarterbacks this season from Von Miller. No other Bills player has more than 12.
Mm.
Like, I just, he's been, that's why they got him.
Yes,
so
it is.
This is a massive injury. Just like we were talking about it with Josh Allen and the elbow, I think it's kind of that same magnitude.
You know, they did play in Kansas City earlier this year. They did beat the Chiefs, and he did come up with some pressures and some sacks at the end of that game. Like, he was the finisher against Kansas City. So you can see the plan in motion if he is healthy. So hopefully for them, he is. They're playing the Patriots tomorrow in the Thursday night game. Sneaky, fun, important game in the AFC. Chris, how would you describe this game for the Patriots tomorrow?
Well, this is a must-win game for the Patriots, right? I mean, they've got to get to 10 wins if they want to be a wild-card team in the AFC. And if you look at their remaining schedule, it's absolutely brutal. Four of their six remaining opponents or in the playoffs if they started today. And then you're talking about them having three games at home remaining, this being one of them. You got to win a divisional game in December at home. You absolutely have to. And so this is a situation where they need to operate with a lot more urgency, certainly more urgency than we saw them play with against the Minnesota Vikings on Thanksgiving Day. The mistakes, the miscues, the roughing the punter play that led to a touchdown for the Minnesota Vikings, those things are uncharacteristic of Bill Belichick coach teams. And so they've got to button all of that stuff up if they want a chance at beating the Buffalo Bills.
They beat the Bills in Buffalo last year. Is that weird, windy Monday night game, right?
Yeah.
But then they played them twice more last year, and the Bills won both games and didn't punt in either one.
Yeah.
Can the Patriots beat them?
No, I don't think so. And I think part of that is, you know, you mentioned them not punting. Can they keep up with them? I mean, the reality is stopping that offense is hard, even though the Patriots defense has been, you know, obviously very good this season. And I think that, you know, I think there's a lot of, I don't know, I think people are somehow looking at Mac Jones' performance last week and saying, all right, well, the offense is going to get on track. And I just don't think that's the case. He's thrown 2 touchdown passes in a game only once this season. It was on Thanksgiving. He's thrown for over 250 yards only twice this season, and one of them was last week. They are not a big play offense. They got some big plays against Minnesota. I don't think that's the case against Buffalo. And I will say, I for one, like, I'm not sure that Mac Jones is over kind of the whole scenario with what happened in Bailey Zappi. I don't know that the team is over that.
So we'll see that tomorrow night, big AFC East matchup. In the AFC North, we have a very close race all of a sudden. The Baltimore Ravens are 7-4, tied with Cincinnati atop that division. The and four part of Baltimore's record is the center of most of the discussion. Lamar Jackson has given his team a 2-score lead in each of the 4 losses, including Sunday in Jacksonville. But the Ravens do not seem to be able to close these games out. Jeremy Fowler, Lamar Jackson looking for a contract extension from the Ravens. Is he costing himself money with these losses?
So I don't think so, because we know how this script is going to play out, right? He's going to get franchise tagged this offseason, and then he's probably going to wait till August to show up and miss some training camp. That's the song and dance that happens, especially with a 2-year journey that we've been on, because the Ravens don't want to pay that guaranteed money that he is asking. He wants a fully guaranteed deal. So whether he throws 4 touchdown passes in a game or 0 probably doesn't change a whole lot of that unless he gets them through the playoffs into the Super Bowl. That's the determining factor that will cause owner Steve Bisciotti to say, here's the coffin of money.
What are you guys seeing with Chris, what are you seeing with Baltimore right now?
Well, Baltimore has got to be better in the fourth quarter. And I know everybody wants to focus on their defense that's given up, what, 63 points in their losses in the fourth quarter. But the offense has only scored 25 points in the losses in the fourth quarter. Their offense is 3 of 9 in those losses. Their offense, which leads the league in turnovers in the fourth quarter with 8, 5 of them came in those 4 losses. So the offense absolutely has to be better. They've had 10 fourth quarter drives in those 4 losses. The offense has only scored touchdowns on 3 of them. The offense has to be better in closing out games. We know about the weaknesses on the defense, but the offense needs to do a better job of being able to extend drives, control time of possession, and protect the lead, protect that defense.
I would say that Chris mentioned the 63 points. So the last 4 games, you know, in the fourth quarter. Okay, so essentially 1 game. We've given up 63 points, okay? So in 60 minutes of football at the end of games, 63 points and 539 yards of offense.
It's
like,
a lot.
So it's a lot. Yeah. Now, to what Chris is saying about it, you know, it's the offense.
If you got 5 turnovers, the other offenses are getting a lot of extra possessions.
Yes, exactly right. So look at this last game. Yeah. They're protecting a 2-point lead. Okay, with, you know, roughly 5.5 minutes left in the game. They decide to run a kick out of the end zone rather than just taking the touchback. You're protecting a 2-point lead. They run it back and get tackled inside the 10. Yeah. So right now, special teams is already failing this football team just by the decision and then by the execution. Then on the very next play, they turn the football over inside their own 20-yard line. That leads to points, which puts Jacksonville in the lead. Those things are obviously beyond, you know, just Lamar Jackson and how he's playing. And so I don't think it affects, to the question on Jeremy, it doesn't affect his money, but it does affect this team. Look at their schedule. They're going to win at least 5 more games. Like, look at their schedule. They're going to do it, even with as poorly as they've played. But the problem is, you play a good team in the postseason, you'll get run off the field.
Yeah, well, I'll say this about the remaining schedule. It looks like it's soft, but they just lost to Jacksonville, a team that had 3 wins on the ledger. If you can lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars, you can lose to anybody.
Yeah.
And that's the state of affairs with the Baltimore Ravens. Their defense absolutely has to be better, especially with them making the move to get Roquan Smith, but their offense can help their defense out.
Right. Red zone offense, 24th in the NFL.
So
this is the year Lamar Jackson is supposed to make that next leap as a passer. Hasn't quite happened yet.
Yes or no? Is this a Super Bowl team?
Can they be a Super Bowl team? AFC. It's too loaded in the AFC. I just don't see enough, especially like you look at their wide receivers. He's thrown to a 35-year-old DeSean Jackson down the field. Like, it's just not enough firepower and offense, and the defense, like we said, has some problems.
A fast 35-year-old.
He's
going to be fast.
He's
going to be
fast. Well, we'll obviously keep a close eye on Baltimore as the season goes on. We don't expect them to be a Super Bowl team, but things can change. Things can change. We want to go to the NBA now, where last night the Warriors and Steph Curry visited Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. Just over 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, we pick things up. Mavs up by two. Doncic gets the steal, finishes immediately with a pull-up jumper on the other end. That extends Dallas' lead to four. Yeah, he's good. 2 minutes left in the game. Warriors down by one. Andrew Wiggins passes it to Curry, who throws up a rainbow three. That falls. Warriors now up by two. Little over a minute to play. Mavericks back up by one. Doncic creates space, knocks down the turnaround jumper. Beautiful. Mavs up by three. Doncic had 41 points in this game. 14 seconds to go. Warriors down two. Curry brings the ball up. Tries to pull up from three, but gets called for traveling in the NBA. Are you kidding me? Great defense by Maxi Kleber. Curry can't believe it. Take another look. I guess he moves his finger. Right? That's a travel. Yeah, it's travel. You just don't see it called. Anyway, after a missed free throw, Warriors down three with 4 seconds left. Draymond finds Klay Thompson for three. He misses. Warriors lose. Doncic had 41, 12, and 12. As expected, the Crimson Tide are on the outside looking into the playoffs with the latest ranking. Does Alabama have any chance to get in the playoffs now? I need to know, and I will ask people who do when we come back.